Old Testament. You wonder why this has got to do with what the subject is, but we have to keep in mind that apart from God, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, we are nothing. We are nothing. We heard a lot of wonderful thoughts this morning in regards to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I just want to continue on that. When you think back in the Old Testament, how God delivered the Israelites from something over and over again. But he also delivered them to and allowed them to be taken into captivity. Just want to touch briefly upon this subject of deliver, which merely means to rescue, but we can be delivered from, but we can also be delivered to. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, we see here that Christ was delivered by his Father. We're going to run through a few little scriptures here. You may, if you want, turn to them. It's up to you. I'm reading from the King James because that's what I grew up. But also, when I choose a certain subject, I like to look back, and because oftentimes the newer translations don't translate it in the same way, and I look them up. But I appreciate the thought of this whole deliver. Acts 22, verse 23, him being delivered, Christ being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And then he says, you've taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden by it or be held by it. Before time began, before God created the world, he knew. In his foreknowledge, he determined that he would deliver a Savior. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Delivered him up for us all. God delivered Christ for us. Romans 4:25, or verse 23 and 20 following. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, that we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. This is all concerning God the Father. Verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Offenses, yet we are justified in his sight through his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's one thing I'm glad about. It's in Matthew 27. When the crowd was gathered at the foot of the cross and they mocked him, began reading at verse 39 of chapter 27, and they passed by and reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him said, and with the scribes and the elders they said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now for the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani. That is to say, and we heard it before this morning, my God, why have you forsaken me? Aren't you glad that God did not deliver Christ from the cross? Where would you and I be today? Oh, it's hard to imagine. we would be like the lost. There would be no one that could be saved. But yet God, in his determinate counsel and his foreknowledge, delivered him to the cross. We glean such a blessing from that sacrificial death. In Jude chapter 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there was a certain man crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained in this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." There is no other way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that faith in him was delivered to us. And it's precious, because he is precious. Christ is the deliverer. Romans chapter 11, verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." And I believe that is yet future. He's saving Israel. Many are coming to faith in Yeshua, Mashiach. Christ delivers us from, 2 Timothy 3, verse 11 says, from trials. 2 Timothy 4, verse 18 says, it says Christ delivers us from evil. 2 Corinthians 1:10 says he delivers us from so great a death. So great a death. We have so great salvation, and we're saved from so great a death. It was mentioned already how when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" that he realized separation from his Father, from God, for eternity would be, it's unimaginable. And yet people are choosing that way, choosing that road, the broad road, not the narrow. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10 says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." We're not going to go through it. Noah was lifted up and over. Lot was taken out of. And with these words, we can comfort one another. There's another thought that ties in with this about our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can start in Psalm 34, verse 8. A familiar verse, I'm sure, to all of you. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." Oh, taste and see. When we think of taste, we can taste something, even in our imagination, if you really enjoy a certain food, we can taste it. Oh, I can taste that now. But you know, something taste doesn't last. The thoughts of it do, but the tasting doesn't. And so it's always nice to have a taste of your favorite foods. But when we taste and see the Lord, we too need to remind ourselves that that is something that we need to keep up with. Psalm 119, verse 103 says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." The process of sanctification through the Holy Spirit allows us to taste and see that the Lord is good. But his word allows us to taste and see that the Lord is good. And so we need to be in the word. We need to be in the Word. There was a survey done, and it's happening more frequently all the time, that less and less people going to church read the scriptures for themselves. They go to church and they hear what the message on Sunday morning, and that's all they get. Is that enough for you? Is that enough for me? No, it's not. We need to continue to taste and see that the Lord is good. Do you know that you and I, well, let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 28. In a spiritual sense, this is in a spiritual sense. He was talking to the disciples and to the people around him of that day, Christ was. Verily I say unto you, there will be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. It repeats it in Matthew chapter 9, verse 11. They shall not taste death till they see this kingdom of God come with power. Luke 9, 27. There will be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. In John 8, verse 52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste death. That's you and I. If a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste death. They were thinking of a physical death. But we know that when we place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that we have eternal life and not eternal death. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. I'm just going to read this portion. Actually, we begin reading at verse 8 for the sake of time here. Let's back up and go to verse 5 after all. It's the Word of God, it's His Word. Hebrews 2, verse 5, for unto the angel saith he, or he hath not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou shouldst visit him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all things under him, he left nothing that is put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Oh boy. That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You and I won't taste that death because Christ already tasted that death. He was delivered by the foreknowledge and determinate counsel of God. He was not delivered from the cross so that salvation would come to you and I. Luke chapter 14, verse 24, we're going to wrap it up with this. Before I read this verse, I was talking to another lady not far from her home. I happened to have to go there for do some service work. And after the work was completed and she paid me, she wanted to pay me then. And living alone, she lost her husband about 4 years ago. She's in her 80s. And I just began to chat with her. I knew that she was a little on the lonely side, and asked her about how she grew up. And she grew up in a church, in a mainline church, became very disillusioned with religion, and I began to share some things with her. And she just was absorbing it, because it was things. And I said, don't you see how true that God is, how precise he is, and all these things as we shared. And towards the end, she said, you've given me a lot to think about. But as I was leaving the door, she said this, I envy your faith. And I said, you don't have to. It's available to you. And just briefly explained. Luke chapter 14, verse 21, talking about invitations to the feast. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." We tasted of a supper here, the Lord's supper. But we are going to be seated as a bridegroom of Christ at that great marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, we have so much to be thankful for. Is the word of God precious to us? You know, we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Oh, we have it. Not to be proud of, but simply be out of grateful hearts and thanksgiving to the Lord. We have even continued freedom to fellowship with him in this manner. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for this. Thank you that you were gracious enough to deliver a Savior to us. So undeserving, yet we were. And we heard earlier that he remembers our sins no more. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. Father, make us grateful people this week, in the days ahead, and as you provide opportunity for those who have never heard or who are resistant to the gospel, and Lord, that we would pray for them regularly to see them come to Christ. And Lord, I believe our days are numbered. We don't know when you're coming again, but please, Lord, and we have to pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But we know that you are long-suffering, that you are gracious, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so, Father, we thank you above all for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Garrett, for sharing this morning. We appreciate those challenges and thoughts from God's Word. I'd like it if we could sing just the chorus of "Jesus Paid It All, All to Him I Owe." Let's just sing that together. Jesus paid it all.